Yep, it's on. Do me a go ahead and put that one slide up there that I was going to have you put up. When I, you know, I've taught scriptural holiness at, I believe, three different universities. I've taught it in a master program. I don't think I've taught it at the doctoral level. I think pretty much that's all leadership stuff. But as I said the first night, I'm a person who totally believes in scriptural holiness. I absolutely believe that it's a journey in life. And God starts dealing with you before you're ever saved. It's called prevenient grace. He starts speaking to your heart through people, through circumstances, through different things. Pastor Corey preached that quite well yesterday, I believe. But when you reach a place through prevenient grace and you begin to realize, however God does it, that you need to be saved. Happened to me when my uncle killed himself and I was traveling to West Virginia to go to his funeral. And a little girl gave me a gospel track on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I talked to somebody from Erie, Pennsylvania this morning. On the West Virginia Turnpike, and it was called This Was Your Life. And when I looked at the man in the track, he died and went to hell. And when I got to my uncle's viewing, I'd never been to a funeral home in my life. And I walked in and looked down at my uncle. I know some of you have heard this, but a lot of you haven't. And I looked down at my uncle, and God said, "Now, if that was you, you'd be just like the man in the track. You'd be lost forever." My uncle, I thought, was an old man. He was 39. Well, that morning of his funeral, I asked God to forgive me. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, the things I had done. And then I accepted Christ by faith, and immediately I was born again. Immediately I became a brand new creature. That's initial sanctification. That's your first step into the holiness journey. Your acts of sin are gone. Then there's progressive sanctification. That's where you grow, discipleship. Now, the reason I'm showing you this again, because this has not been, the things I've done this week have not been by chance. God laid this camp on my heart. I think I'd go back maybe a year ago. And I started thinking about this camp. And I went through a terrible situation myself. Almost died in the hospital with my heart was only squeezing at 11%. And Kathy, was it 2 years ago? Okay. But what I'm saying that is this, is that I went through this thinking about my time, 54 years as a pastor. 54 years. My time as I spoke at camp meetings, revivals, spoke in Africa, spoke on the mission field at Southwest Ministries, spoke so many places, revivals, filled in for pastors, you know, like I just did for 3 weeks when a pastor had a heart attack. So I did all that, and I had all those years of ministry. And somebody asked me, let me finish my thought. And so as I started putting things together, as I told you the first night, I'm going through what I call the journey of holiness in this series, and I'm tying in the Bible study in the morning. It's very important that we put on the whole armor of God, because God gave us that armor because we're in a battle. And the enemy we're fighting against, he uses his weapons against us, and he uses them well. His strategy, his plans are to oppose our God, and I thought about it this afternoon, to defeat, destroy, discourage Christians, and to completely destroy the church if he can have his way. And we're in a battle in this journey. So the whole armor of God protects us. We've been going through it, and it's amazing what you learn about each piece of the armor. And that's all part, to me, of the progressive sanctification. And then you reach that place through progressive sanctification where you realize that there's something inside of you, not something you've done, but who you are. You were born that way. It's original sin. And God doesn't want you to ask forgiveness. God wants you to surrender. And if you surrender, he'll do the rest. You're immediately cleansed. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. And now you're on the journey. It's still progressive sanctification. And in this journey, we've got a battle to fight. We've got a family to love. And I'm talking about the church. And we've got a life to live in Jesus Christ that pleases our God. Now, you can go ahead and take that down, because I'm not having anybody ready to go to glorification yet. That's when you go to heaven. But I want to say this. As I thought about this, and people ask me questions about it a lot, especially when I retired. Oh man, it was so wonderful to have all three of my boys there, and my daughter-in-law's there, and my grandkids there. And well, it was only the third time I retired, but that's another story. God wasn't through with me yet, and he's still not through with me. But people ask me, what do you celebrate after 54 years as a pastor? And I'll just tell you, it's very easy for me. It's all the souls that I saw get saved. It's all the souls that I saw reconciled to God. It's all the families I saw who were dysfunctional and full of problems that God brought back together. It was all the believers. And I believe in that second work of grace. I believe in entire sanctification. And I've seen so many people give their life to God, surrender themselves, and God cleanses out the carnality and fills you. That's what I celebrate. But I have a major disappointment in my ministry. As a matter of fact, I wrote this in my notes, circled it, highlighted it, and underlined it. It breaks my heart. What breaks my heart is, in a holiness church all my life, and as a pastor and a district leader and a professor and all the things I've done, is to watch how many believers who wear the banner of holiness and get themselves out of focus and let Satan deceive them and let Satan destroy their witness. And I'm calling this strange waters. And you'll understand it when I get done with James tonight. It's strange waters to bless God with one breath and to harm people with the other breath. It's strange waters to bless God with one breath and to curse people with the other breath. Those are strange waters. Now, what I'm going to speak about tonight is radical. I'm talking about scriptural holiness. And there'll be some people who will want to turn me off immediately, because what I'm talking about, some people will say, is not practical. Some people will say, it's too radical. You can't live that kind of life. Here's what's bothered me. I've seen believers who claim to be entirely sanctified gossip. Talk about other people. I'll tell you what, God's not pleased. That's not part of who we are. I've seen people be harsh and belittling to other people who claim to be entirely sanctified, who claim to have the Holy Spirit, and yet they belittle people, put them down, are sarcastic, treat people bad. And one of the things that bothers me the most is when I see holiness believers treating people with unkindness. It's just not part of who we are supposed to be. Now, I want to tell you something. You talk about a sermon that I prayed about. God gave me this sermon one day, and I think it was about a year ago. I don't even know when it was, but it was a while ago. And I started thinking about this concept of strange waters as I thought about the disappointment of watching believers. Now, listen, This message is for every age believer here tonight. But the younger you are, you need to hear this. So when you start your journey or where you're at on your journey, you start doing it right. There's a right way to do it. And the right way to do it is put on the full armor of God and walk in holiness through the power of Jesus Christ. That's the right way. Now, you'll be told in 2026. Now, let me finish. Passive aggressiveness. Oh, my goodness. I've seen believers who are indirectly hostile to other believers, give people the silent treatment, emotionally withdraw from people. Let me tell you something. That creates confusion, insecurity, and rational instability. Satan wants to destroy our churches. He wants to deceive believers. He wants to discourage believers. He wants to take us to task. Let me tell you something. I've seen people, and I'll go through this quickly. Holiness people, critical, fault-finding. There's no place for that in the body of Christ. There's especially no place for that in a holiness life. There's just not. Unforgiving. You don't know what they did to me, Pastor. No, but I know what he did for you. A resentful attitude. Indifference. If you really want to hurt another believer or especially a new person to the kingdom, treat him with indifference and coldness. Do not show them love and kindness and compassion. That's that passive aggressiveness. And to me, an unteachable spirit. My goodness, that will destroy a person. When Satan twists his way through his powers to get you to have that kind of pride where you're unteachable. Why? I've been a Wesleyan for 175 years. Well, some Wesleyans act like they've been baptized in prune juice, and this is not even a Wesleyan convention. But I am. I've been a Wesleyan. I know what it is. But I want to read some scriptures tonight. And I want you to listen closely. This is not radical what I'm talking about. I'm going to read what God says in Ephesians. You know, this whole week for me has been Ephesians. If you read about the armor of God, it's not just chapter 6. It's all 6 chapters. You go through it, my goodness. But in Ephesians 4, paints a vivid picture of what the body of Christ should be like. Now listen, you're going to hear me talk about the body of Christ tonight, but I don't want you to hide yourself in the body of Christ. I want honest hearts tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want you to pray. I don't care who you are tonight. If God was to speak to me in this sermon, I'd be at that altar and I'd be down there praying. If I was a president of the camp and God spoke to me, that's where I would be. I want you to pray right now for the person standing here in your shoes. I want you to pray that God will speak to your heart. I'm just going to be frank. Don't do it if you're not serious. If you're not going to listen, don't waste God's time and don't waste mine. This is serious stuff I'm talking about here. Last night, after Pastor Corey preached such a wonderful message, and he was talking about some of the same things, I went back to my room and I said, well, maybe God wants me to change the sermon. And I had this sermon called, The God Who Is Enough. And I thought, man, that'd be a great sermon. But I went to bed, 4:30 in the morning, God woke me up and said, nope, I don't want you to change this sermon. As a matter of fact, I want you to preach this sermon. And here's some new stuff. And then all day today, My wife was sick all night. We were wrestling with things. I tried to get my sermon printed off because this is the first time I've ever preached this. This is not something I've preached at 17 camp meetings. This is not something I've preached even as a pastor to my church. Tonight's the first time I've ever preached this, and God gave me this just for this moment, I believe. Especially if you're a young person tonight, if you're a young married person, if you're kind of a middle, well, I don't know what middle age is anymore. I used to hear that 50 was, but I got news for you. 50's way past middle age. Middle age is about 35, isn't it? So I'm 70. I know you guys thought I was 57, but I'm 77, man. I'm just 2.5 years from being 80. And I'm wanting to hear God tonight. I'm serious. I got one chance at this life, one shot, just one. So I'm going to pray for me and you. I want you to pray for you. If you're a young person, I'm going to say up to 45. I'll call that young, because that is young. Old to be 70 again. Let me tell you something. If 45 and you got kids, teenagers, little ones, boy, you need to make sure you're walking in the holiness journey. You need to make sure that you are walking with the full armor of God in place. Father, I pray for me tonight. I pray especially as I preach this, that you would open my heart, my mind, help me to say what you want me to say. Speak to every heart that's here tonight. Lord, don't let Satan for an instant get us out of focus tonight. I appreciated the way Asbury opened the service and I felt the Spirit. And I appreciate the way I feel your Spirit now. So have your special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Ephesians chapter 4 paints a vivid picture of what the body of Christ should look like. Now, don't hide in the body. When I talk about the body of Christ, I'm also talking to individual Christians. This is how your life should look, because the church is us. It is the body of Christ. A community that walks worthy of the calling of the Lord with humility. Now, this is for me, with gentleness, with patience, and most of all, with love. Also in chapter 4, it says the body is called to live differently than the world. We're to put off the old self. We're to put on the new self. And again, put off is the Greek word nekro. It means to put to death. And we'll be talking about that some more here. You literally put to death the old self. It's slayed. It's put to death, and you're to put on. In duo, again, the same as the armor of God. It is in the imperative mood. And it's in the aorist tense. The imperative mood says, this is not a suggestion. God is saying, you need right now to put on that's the armor of God. You need right now to put on the new self. Put it on. Slide into it. Cover your complete self. The aorist tense says, do it now, this moment. It's not a past tense. It's not a present tense. It's not a perfect tense. It's the aorist tense. Do it right now. Now, I'm going to read from Colossians. Colossians gives us a perfect picture of what God wants us to put to death and what God wants us to put on. Now, this is going to sound radical. I mean radical. I can't do that. No, there's no way. You're right, you can't. But he can. That's why we talked today about putting on, taking up the shield of faith. See, this is all about faith. It's all about trusting Christ. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Put to death, again, nekoro, kill and slay, therefore, what is earthly. Some of these are obvious. Make sure you have no sexual immorality, no impurity, no impure passions, no evil desire, no covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, God's wrath is coming. Those are obvious. But these aren't so obvious. Verse 8. This is what God says we should not have in our life. He says, but now you must put them all away. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Slander. Obscene talk. Do not lie to one another. Seeing that you have put off the old self and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Because here there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. We are all in Christ, and he is our all and all. I say praise the Lord. Now, before I get into James, I'm gonna lay out some radical things, because I am, usually if this was a Wesleyan group, I would say I'm a Wesleyan on purpose. Saved, I'm a Christian by birth, but I'll tell you what I am on purpose for all of us from different backgrounds. I'm a Christian by birth, but I'm Wesleyan Arminian on purpose. I believe in the holiness journey. I believe it's true. I believe in the fact that we need to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. God doesn't just want to change what we say. He wants to change who we are. Now that's radical thinking. Holiness is not an old school word, some people think it is, for spiritual perfection. Holiness is God's invitation, listen, to become whole. See, that's what entire sanctification means. It don't mean it's all over. It means you have been made whole. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life, a life that's fractured and broken and separated from God through that holiness journey, starting with salvation, then entire sanctification, and that progressive sanctification. As you grow, you are growing more like Christ. When you surrender, he cleanses out the carnality. He fills you with his perfect love. Now you can grow even more. And God wants to make you whole. I say praise the Lord. And I'm a Wesleyan Arminian, and I'm radical about this. Listen to me. This is what we believe. God does not just forgive the sinner. He transforms the believer. He doesn't just clean the record. He cleans the heart. He doesn't just save us from hell. He saves us and cleanses us from the inner chaos that keeps spilling out of us and to people all around us. Holiness is not trying harder. Martin Luther found that out. You read the story of Martin Luther, and when he hung up the 95 theses, and he beat himself and cut himself, and he wanted so much to have the answer, and then he heard that wonderful scripture from Romans, the just shall live by faith. Wow. Holiness is not trying harder. It's letting the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting ready to go to James, so listen. Purify the spring that's within you so that the flow that comes out of your life looks like Jesus. That's what holiness is. Becoming a person whose words and relationships flow with grace. I say, praise the Lord. Let me read from James chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Now, I didn't have a message Bible with me, so I got the message here on my phone. I'm going to read, though, from the ESV. And then I want to read this from the Message, a very good paraphrase. And I like the way it says it because it puts it in our just everyday language. This is what James says. Now, listen to me, folks. Look up at me. James does not say this just to hear himself talk. He doesn't say this so this would be a nice sermon for somebody to preach. This is straight from the heart of God to you and me. Father, I want you to speak to us through this scripture as it's read and understand that this is for us. For me. This is what James says, 3 verses 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Well, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Now, let me read that from the Message. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in God's image. Wow. Think about that. Every time you gossip or slander or talk about somebody or treat them bad, you're treating somebody bad that was made in God's image. You know what you're doing? You're kicking mud right in the face of somebody created in the image of God. Now, just think about that. And so blessing and cursing come from pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. I don't know when I was going to say this, but I'll say it now. You got that fresh water? You just pour a little bit of salty water in it. It's not fresh water anymore. Don't take a whole lot. There's a part of your body that weighs only a few ounces, measures only a few inches, and yet it has the power to shape destinies, to heal wounds, to destroy relationships, reveal the true condition of your heart. It's your tongue. You see, it's not what goes in here that defiles you. It's what Jesus said. It's what comes out of here that defiles you. It's what's in here. Your mouth simply broadcasts whatever your heart is streaming. Now you think about that for a moment. I bless God and I harm people. My heart's streaming the wrong thing. Amen? It surely is. And the earlier you learn that, you know what I think about Satan? He's one of the father of all liars. He's the king deceiver. You know what he does in a service like this? Something will happen and God is talking to you, and you need to get down to that altar. You need to get it taken care of right now. But you'll walk out that door. I've done it plenty of times. James isn't scolding us, folks. Please listen. And I'm not, listen, I prayed about this. And I think if my wife were to look at me sometimes, she'll probably go, smile a little bit. Because I'm not wanting to come across like I'm scolding people, because I'm not. I'm telling you a truth that will set you free. I'm not trying to be mean or nasty. And James is definitely not scolding us. He's diagnosing the problem. He's showing us that the tongue is not the problem. It's not. It's just a symptom. The mouth is the microphone, but the heart has the playlist. Think about that for a moment. God's goal is to make you a fresh, and here's what I believe. That's the title of this sermon, Strange Waters, Freshwater Christian. God wants to make us and have us be freshwater Christians. He wants that fresh water flowing from our soul, from our life, from our being. God wants you and I to be, he wants me to be someone whose words, reactions, relationships consistently flow with grace. Does that mean I'm never going to mess up? Oh yeah, I mess up. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit to convict us, to show us, to draw us back. You see what the tongue does? It reveals what's in the heart. And James invites us to take an honest look at what's flowing out of our lives. I'll call a person tonight who speaks with fresh water and salt water a double-tongued believer. I'll tell you what a double-tongued believer reveals. A heart that's in chaos. A heart that's in chaos. James asked those three piercing questions. Can a spring produce fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? The answer is obviously no. Fresh water and salt water do not come from the same source. So one thing mixed speech reveals. And by the way, close your eyes for a moment. Let's say you were talking to God right now. How about it? Can you say tonight that you don't have those mixed words coming out of your mouth and attitudes that are right sometimes and wrong sometimes? Because when they are, it reveals a mixed allegiance. A believer that blesses God one moment but wounds people. And that person is spiritually fractured. You can look up now. Point number two. A double-tongued believer corrupts his own soul. James 3:6 says, the tongue corrupts the whole person. And it's not the tongue, but it's what comes out of the tongue. It's what's in here. Harmful speech doesn't just hurt others, it hurts you. It hurts your relationship with God. It hurts your walk. And I don't care how old you are tonight, but the younger you are tonight, the sooner you get this message and understand, yes, holiness is radical, but God, that's God's plan. And that plan is for you. And it will make you whole and complete. And Jesus will be seen in every step you take. I was pastoring, you know, 54 years, several churches, so you won't know which church it was. But God was certainly blessing our church. When I went there, we were running about 70. And I know I'm going to have this number wrong, but I think on this particular Sunday, we had about 375. And boy, did the people love me as their pastor. Especially some of the people that would sit up front. And How Great Is Our God became our theme song. I believe, listen, when Chris Tomlin wrote that, I believe that song could live for the ages. I believe 100 years from now, that's a song that we should be singing. I really believe that, how great is our God. And we would sing that, and I was on the worship team, and because I was probably the only person who would talk. I had a good guitar player, several good worship team members, a good drummer, but none of them would talk. I had no problem talking. And we did something that day, something very simple. And two ladies who always were on fire for God, they let another person poison them. And they treated me before the service started with coldness and with unkindness and with indifference. What I appreciate is by the end of the service, they both came up and apologized. And they told me they were sorry that it ever happened. Because I'll tell you something, if you let Satan do it, he will corrupt your mind. Wesley taught that repeated sin forms what he called tempers, habits of the heart that shape your character. Think about that. I'll tell you what else harmful speech does and bad attitudes. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It resists the Holy Spirit. And it weakens my sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, that's a little radical. No, that's true. This is a war. As we say in our morning Bible study about the armor of God, this is not a playground we're on. It's a battlefield. And our enemy is fighting savagely. See, the Spirit, he is at work to form Christ-like character in you and me. He wants us to be like Jesus. But when we have bad attitudes and we speak harmfully, we push against that very work. And we weaken our own sensitivity. A believer that's out of tune in the area of his attitudes and speech throws the harmony of his life into spiritual chaos. It's like a guitar player, and I'm not a musician. You can have a 5-string guitar perfectly tuned, but if one of the strings is off tune, just one. You guys know that play. Let me ask you some honest questions, and I want you to think about yourself when I say this. Are your words and attitudes stealing your peace? Are your reactions grieving the Spirit? Is your speech and attitude forming habits that are corrupting your own soul? Those are good questions to ask, and I believe God brought me here for this moment tonight. This may be for several of us, or it may be for one of us in particular. I do not know. But I believe in providence. A double-tongued believer devastates the body of Christ. You wonder how churches who are holiness-believing churches can have splits and division. Well, when Christians get out of focus, what do you expect? Satan has an inroad. James says this in this very text, a spark can ignite a forest. A rudder can steer a ship. A bit can control a mighty racehorse. Well, I'm here to tell you this is a key thought. Speaking both blessing and harm destroys the unity of a church and corrupts the souls of believers. I believe that with mine. It pulls you away from the very God who loves you with everything that he is. Wesley believed that holiness was communal. Holiness creates unity. Salt water breaks unity from the inside out. See, it's not out here. I can blame my wife. I can blame my kids. I can blame Dr. Carter. I was his pastor for 9 years. I can blame Pastor Dan, Pastor Anita. They were my assistants for 21 years. I can blame my kids. Oh man, in church, I can blame the parishioners. I can blame the chairman of the board for my bad attitude and all the things that are going on, but there's only one person to blame, and that's me. See, Satan's not a person. He's an evil entity. He has personality traits, but I'm telling you, in Isaiah 29:13, God said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Let's stop for a second and let's take a breath. I'll be done in just a moment. Let's just go. When believers treat one another wrongly, unity is fractured. Trust evaporates. Worship becomes hollow. Mission loses credibility. I'm talking about the mission of the church, the purpose. The Spirit's work is grieved. The watching world sees a distorted Christ. Because you know what Jesus said very strongly the night he was betrayed? How will the world know that you're my disciples? There's only one way. You pay your tithe? No, that's not what he said. You attend church every Sunday? No, that's not what he said. You read your Bible faithfully? No, that's not what he said. How will the world know that you're my disciples, that you love one another? This is how the world will know that you are my disciples. Let me just ask you a question about your life. Does your speech build trust or erode it? Does your attitude and words create unity or fracture it? Even in your family, with your spouse, with your parents. I got one chance at this thing. I never thought when I was a little boy, I never thought about one day standing beside my mama's casket. But I've done it. I never thought one of my brothers, younger than me, preaching his funeral, but I've done it. Life is short, folks. And the closer I get to old age, I'm not there yet, but the closer I get, the more I realize life is short. You want to live it right. You want to live a life surrendered to God. And if there's anything wrong in your life, get it taken care of. There's only one way to overcome these things. It is the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Or the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Well, you can say it both ways. And then I'm gonna say this one real quick. Gossip is probably the most common salt water that destroys churches. Here's what a freshwater Christian needs to do. Refuse to listen to gossip. Never repeat gossip. Never spiritualize gossip. Well, I'm saying this for their own good. Oh, yeah. And never, well, I've seen people enjoy gossip. Listen, one of my favorite Andy Griffin shows was when he and Barney went out into the garbage pit to get the things written in the paper that had all the gossip about the people in the town. And they had their flashlight looking at it. And first it was Barney, then it was Andy. And then all of a sudden there was Aunt Bee. And they were all just enjoying that gossip. But this is true. One sentence of gossip can ruin a friendship. I've seen it happen. Churches split. I was a district leader. I was a regional director, and one of my jobs was to visit churches that were having problems and sit down with the pastors and try and bring reconciliation. Boy, I've seen some doozies. And one sentence of gossip can ruin a friendship. One rumor can ruin a reputation. God help me never to ruin somebody's reputation. Please, God. And one careless comment can ruin trust where the person will never trust you again. I want to ask you this question as we close tonight. Asbury's going to come and we're going to close with a song. And the altar's going to be open. Please, don't stay back there if God's speaking to you. Don't let Satan win. Because you know who loses? Me. If it's me that God's speaking to. Here's the awesome news. If you ask God to take care of this, grace doesn't just pardon, grace transforms. The same God who exposes the spring can cleanse the spring. Aren't you glad? The tongue reveals the heart, yes, but the Spirit can renew the heart, and a stream can start running pure. Stand with us tonight. Now listen, if God spoke to you, please. And if God's not speaking to you, please pray for the people around you. As Asbury sings, the altar's open. Father God, speak to our hearts tonight. Let us understand how important this issue is. Holiness is a lifestyle that can only be lived through surrender to you. We ask you to touch our hearts in Jesus' name, amen. And the altar's open.
So as we go into this time of response, we're gonna do offering a little bit differently. As you can see, the offering plates are set here at the altar. If you feel led in your worship to continue in that worship by giving, you can do it then. We're not going to pass it around. It's just going to be here when you feel led. We're going to go into this time of worship and response. Whatever God is calling you to do, make sure you do that.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. A crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Here's the deal. We got one shot at this thing in this altar call. Bow your heads with me just for a moment. Father, if you're speaking to me, if there's things in my life, speak to me right now. And God, I know you're the answer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close this part of this service after this song is over. We have one more shot here. Just mind God.
By thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Yes, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Asbury is going to continue to share with us in worship. I hope all hearts are clear. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do you believe that? I do too.
Still moving. Let's continue to worship him here.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created.
place in my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. Take some time to gaze upon who Jesus is, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. And in just looking at him, being around him, we are transformed more into his likeness every day. And our job here is to be in his presence. So if you feel led, please stand with us as we continue in worship.